Yes, grab a cup, grab a seat, and welcome on in to Coffee and Cornbread. Let's catch you up on everything you need to know around the barn. The Omar Mapson hype continues to build at Auburn, but this might be the most important reason yet and why he's separating himself. On Afternoon Delight, the members-only podcast here at the barn, yeah, we're starting off in a different way on today's episode. Kyle Rush and Ben Taylor explained why they saw Mapson, when they saw Mapson, and he was asked to step up in pass protection against some of the best linebackers on Auburn's roster. Why? That's such a big deal.
I agree with you. I talked with Dap about it on the live last night. But one of the more interesting drills that we got to see when they started putting pads on was running backs and tight ends in pass protection. And Ben, when I was growing up, they called this the Rudy drill. I don't know why, but they called it the Rudy drill, where you'd have one person with their back to the coach. So they're facing four defenders and the coach is behind them. And then the coach will point to one of the four to sort of blitz, and you got to step up and pick up the blitz. And it's all the linebackers. So it's Melendez, it's Xavier Atkins. Yeah. It's a drill for them too. Like, they're rushing the quarterback. I mean, it makes both sides better. But it was running backs and tight ends. And, you know, one way to get your butt on the field as a running back is to be able to pass block. Like, yep. And if you can't, you can't just be a one-trick pony where you just go out there to carry the ball, because then that's way too obvious.
Yeah.
Other than maybe Jake Johnson, I thought Omar was the most impressive one out of the group.
Oh,
you're
wow.
Talking about stepping up with a full speed Elijah Melendez coming downhill and then just absorbing that and then, you know, stalemating him a little bit. Did the same thing with DeMarcus Riddick. He was the best running back in pass blocking on that day that I saw. And I tell you what, that's how you earn snaps.
Yeah.
We're switching from, we got to get back in football mode. That's how you earn snaps, doing the dirty work like that. He just seems like he's on a different level, different mindset than maybe most. He's just, I think he's a special guy.
And that's part of Omar Mapson's emergence that really matters. I mean, we already knew that he could run the football, but if you're going to earn significant snaps at running back in the SEC, you've got to be able to protect your quarterback. They are taking that as a huge priority this season, the new coaching staff is. And we're talking about Mapson stepping up against Elijah Melendez and Riddick, like it's holding his own. That's not nothing. That's the farthest from nothing, especially when Golish and Gordon have repeatedly emphasized that, you know, they need complete running backs. So really like what we see here. This isn't just hype because he's making flashy plays either. The way that the coaches talk about him, the way the players are talking about him, I think you're going to see him earn a ton of snaps as soon as the first game against the Baylor Bears. Well, the Auburn's offensive line went viral during fall camp, maybe not for the right reasons, but maybe, one drill had fans immediately questioning what they were seeing. And I don't know. Well, I've seen it. I don't know if I want to go too far with it, but Kyle Rush did. You know, Charlie Five explained why the reactions to the clip may be completely overblown.
Offensive line, there was a silly video. It's not a silly video. Let me take it back. Take that back. There was a good video that was put out by Justin Hokanson, and the comments on it were silly. It was an offensive line drill where there's this machine they call Big Bertha, and the thing weighs over 350 pounds, and it's in a unnatural low spot, like that over-exaggerates the offensive lineman having to get low and explode up. And then when they explode up, it's 350 pounds plus. Now, if you look at the defensive line drills where they're hitting the sleds and they're exploding up, they're exponentially less weight. And they're not curled and over and very, very bent low. It's just an easier drill. This is like a level 10 offensive line drill, and people are going nuts in the comments, mostly because an offensive line coach is seemingly disappointed in how the drill's going. Got news for you guys. There's not many times you see a football coach, particularly on the offensive line, that's just celebrating and shooting fireworks after an offensive line drill. That's just not their thing. It's always got to get better. I'm disappointed. That's not good enough. I mean, that's typically how I feel like offensive line coaches and defensive line coaches, man, that's just how they are. That's how you get that nasty attitude. You kind of emulate your position coach. Montrell's super intense. Hoodie super intense. Parker Ball super intense. So the offensive linemen hopefully are going to be just as intense. I say all that to say they need a big week this week. Need to start hearing running backs popping off in the scrimmage. I want to hear that you're getting good push, particularly in the run game, able to protect.
See, this is where my mindset went to when I read it too, when I watched it, excuse me. You know, it's a few seconds of practice. It's the media availability. You know, video can be dangerous without context. Nobody's arguing that Auburn's offensive line doesn't have questions. Let's be very clear about that. I think it might be the biggest question mark on the roster now. And it's a lot of things that have to be fixed during fall camp, but struggling with a 350-pound sled that's specifically designed to make you struggle. Exaggerated technique isn't proof that this offensive line can't block. Okay. Let's be fair on that one. Your offensive line coach being unhappy certainly isn't proof either. That's coaching. So the real test is what happens. And Auburn starts their scrimmaging, you know, Jeremiah Cobb, Omar Mapson finding running lanes. What will the offensive line do? You know, can they open up the lanes for those running backs? Is Byron Brown getting enough time to operate? And you shouldn't need as much time as past Auburn offenses. So hopefully they can figure that out. This is what matters. The offensive line doesn't need to become elite overnight. They don't. They have a few weeks to figure it out. They need to become good enough that it isn't the reason that Auburn loses football games. That's it. I'm not asking for Auburn to be the number one offensive line in the SEC. That does not need to happen. Not with Byron Brown as your quarterback. Auburn freshman Deshaun Spencer has been generating serious buzz during fall camp, but on Village Vice, Brad Law took that hype to an entirely different level. Sounds like Brad, right? Arguing that Spencer is already better than Alabama star? Ryan Williams, and using their time at Sarah Land to make their case.
Deshaun Spencer. Mm-hmm. Deshaun Spencer. So he broke Ryan Williams' single season receiving record at Sarah Land.
Which means he's better, right?
He's demonstrably better. Like, this is not
statistically better.
Not some pie in the sky. Like, this is Sarah Land against high caliber competition, same offense. One guy's numbers are better than the other guy's numbers.
What are we doing?
Argue against that. Like, well, Ryan Williams did it multiple years, right? Because Deshaun was a running back, because to have both Deshaun and Ryan as wide receiver didn't make a whole lot of sense. So as soon as Ryan is gone, Deshaun moves into the role and produces
more. So what you're telling me is Ryan Williams was holding Deshaun Spencer back.
I'm saying that if Ryan Williams had not been at Sarah Land at the same time as Deshaun Spencer by like a couple of years, perhaps Spencer is the guy. And if Deshaun had been like, had put up track numbers, because I think Ryan did some track and had some impressive numbers there too. They're both extremely athletically gifted.
Mm-hmm.
One guy was an inch taller and maybe did some more camps and had some track times. And so he was a heralded five-star recruit.
I got it. Can I give you a stat back? Do you mind? Yeah.
No, I don't mind at all.
Deshaun Spencer has less fumbles in Iron Bowls than Ryan Williams and Cam Coleman.
See, I detect an element of irony or sarcasm with this argument, as if I'm making it for performance.
I'm doing the same thing you're doing. What
I'm
do you mean?
Not. No, I'm being completely unironic with this.
So you're saying Deshaun Spencer is a better receiver than Ryan Williams?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's the point that I'm making.
Got
it. And the only real comparison we can have between the two of them,
yeah,
is what they did in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And Deshaun produced more. than Ryan did in high school. So, and the reason I'm making that, like, I'm not just trying to put a period on that argument. What I'm saying is then if Deshaun Spencer comes out and produces in college his freshman year and has an outstanding season, it shouldn't come as a shock to anybody. Because the other guy put up some big numbers in a few games as a freshman at Alabama. Shouldn't surprise anybody if the guy who did better than that guy at the same high school broke his single season receiving record, comes out and right away is able to produce as a part of this offense.
Oh no, the Alabama machine is going to come after us because we said Deshaun Spencer is better than Ryan Williams. Okay. Spencer isn't just some freshman, though. Auburn fans have decided to hype him during fall camp. He's not that guy. He's not just someone they just decided to figure it out. A-day, period. This is a kid who played alongside Ryan Williams at Sarah Lane, eventually moved from running back to receiver, and then broke Williams' single-season record. That means something. Now he arrived at Auburn, immediately started generating buzz and potentially being part of the receiver rotation as soon as his freshman season. Does that mean he's already proven that he's better than Ryan Williams at a college level? No. Haven't seen drops, though, but no. Williams has already produced on Saturdays to a degree, and if this fall camp buzz translates once Auburn starts playing games, Alex Golish may have found himself another weapon a lot earlier than anybody expected. Auburn may have found their next breakout star coming off the edge in Jared Smith. Going from a breakout star on the receiver side to the edge, count me in, because Jared Smith has been generating buzz throughout fall camp. And on the Barnes Social Hour, Hunter and Graham talked about how he doesn't believe it's just a camp standout. He believes the sophomore could be getting ready to make that same kind of jump we saw from a pretty interesting name. Remember Kedrick Falk? Yeah, I like that. Check it out.
For, you know, fall camp winner, fall camp standout, is Jared Smith. Really, again, no surprise there. He's an edge, edge rusher. He's just absolutely, you know, kind of rose to the occasion, you know, and it kind of felt like in the spring that, you know, this was Deshaun Womack's room and Jared Smith was going to kind of be behind him. But I feel like, you know, that's kind of shifted now in the summer and it's more of Jared Smith's room. He's got tremendous upside. First of all, it was just amazing that we were able to keep him this last year. He is 6'6", 260 pounds as a true sophomore. You love that. And so just, oh, you know, all the, you know, so far, you know, fall camp clips I've seen from him. Absolutely. Zach posted one just a couple days ago of him doing some sled work, and his explosiveness was unbelievable. And so super excited for Jared Smith. I think, you know, like I said, he's got potential to be outstanding. I think he could make, you know, we really saw the eruption of Kedrick Falk, his sophomore year. And I think, you know, that kind of put him on the national stage. And then obviously he had a really good junior year and then was able to go league in the first round. So I think Jared Smith is, you know, has the potential to have a jump like that and this year and really command that room and take over that room and really be a problem for SEC offenses this year. So super excited that. And then one little honorable mention I want to talk about real quick is Cody Sigler. I'm really high on Cody Sigler. He kind of came in out of nowhere. Well, we knew he was going to be good, but, you know, I don't think we knew how good he was going to be. But he's 6'2", 308 from New Hope, Alabama. Really, really good. And just I've liked the things that I've seen from him so far.
If Jared Smith can make anything close to what Kedrick Falk had in his jump, Auburn's defensive front suddenly becomes a lot more interesting. And you know, the fact that we believe that Jared Smith is one of the most important defensive players that had to take that step forward in fall camp, that is not what I expected when I thought that. That would be over excelling and overachieving, and I'll take that 100% of the time. That's a big deal for a DJ Durkins defense. You know, Smith's only a true sophomore. He's 6'6", 260. Physical tools are obvious. Now you're starting to hear about the explosiveness showing up during fall camp and the possibility that this edge room is becoming his. You know, Falk is a sophomore. He tried to establish himself as one of the best young defensive linemen in the SEC. Now the question is whether Jared Smith can have that similar type of leap. And if he does, Auburn could have a serious problem when it comes to taking down opposing offensive tackles this fall. Problem in a good way, taking down. And maybe Jared Smith is a double-digit sack leader. Wouldn't that be something? Only had two last year. Could he make that huge jump in year one? I'll tell you right now, the way that he looks in fall camp, it would not surprise me in the slightest. So who do you think would lead Auburn in sacks this season? Is as easy as saying it's Jared Smith? Will somebody else hop up on your radar? Let us know in the comments below. Thank you so much, as always, for listening to the show. Or if you're watching the show on Members Only, I thank you so much. If you haven't already, if you're listening to audio and you're listening to Coffee and Cornbread and you're like, how could I see this this one in video? Well, consider joining the barn. Consider becoming a member. You can get a bunch of different member-only content that we bring you every single day here at the barn. Thanks for pulling up a chair. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Coffee and Cornbread.